All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Super wild card weekend edition of the show. I am Bobby Fenton. Always one of my favorite, really my two favorite weekends of the year. And there are several. I shouldn't say they're my only two. But as a football fan, particularly if you're an NFL fan, and I love college football and I love NFL, I love everything. But if you're an NFL fan, you get down to wild card weekend and the divisional round weekend. And now we got, again, six games here on wild card weekend. That's why they call it super wild card. It really doesn't get any better. Whether it's from a gambling perspective, whether it's just purely from a football perspective. If you're one of those fantasy people, I guess it doesn't have that added element, but I never really needed that anyway. And so here we are. You know, you play all those 18 weeks for, those 17 games, you get everything to come out in the wash, the seedings are set, you've got a playoff opponent, the Bucks will take on the Eagles on Sunday at 1 at Raymond James Stadium. I was a little surprised, thought primetime was probably in their future. I'm okay with it. I really kind of prefer, my favorite one really, the Saturday 4:35 is always a great slot, the Sunday afternoon one, and then, you know, the primetime ones are different for different reasons. And now we've got Monday night too, which would have been crazy, but Sunday at 1 is just plain old Sunday at 1. And it's ironic a little bit because the Bucks didn't play Sunday at 1 very often this year, but that's what they'll get on Sunday as the Eagles come to town in a rematch of the first playoff game played ever here in Tampa when the Bucks played the Eagles in the 1979 playoffs in the divisional round. There were no wild cards then. They won that and they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship the next week. But we've got a different Eagles team than that one here now. This team, 9-8 on the season. Of course, the Bucks beat them back on October the 14th, I believe it was. And since that night, you know, after that game, on October 14th, Philadelphia was 2-4, the Bucks were 5-1. Since that night, Philadelphia has gone 7-4 in their final 11 games, and the Bucks went 8-3. So both teams have played well down the stretch. The Eagles, it's a little bit deceiving if you break down their record, and we'll look at a lot of different angles for the game today on the show, but you know, this is a 9-8 team that went 0-6 against playoff teams and 9-2 in their other 11 games, and they went 9-2 against teams with a combined 350 winning percentage, which is the worst strength of victory of anybody in the playoff field. And again, 0-6 in the season against teams that are now in the playoffs. So we'll look at everything with the matchup. We'll look at the whole season and review a little bit on the show today and things like that. But it's nice to have a home playoff game, a real home playoff game. The Super Bowl was unbelievable, and that's technically a neutral site game. It wasn't a game that just anyone could go to, and during COVID, that was especially true. This is a tough ticket. There are no tickets for general sale because, as far as like individual single game tickets, because season ticket holders got to buy everything. But if you go on Ticketmaster, like, they're not that high. I mean, it's relative. You know, they're high, but they're under $200, and that's, I'm recording this on Thursday, so as of, you know, the time I'm recording it, that's where they are. But by the time you get to Saturday, maybe even Sunday morning, I'm willing to bet they'll be down even a little more than that. So, you know, one of the things about getting that game to go our way the other day, or on Sunday, with 49ers-Rams, was now the Bucks, if they win, are guaranteed to be at home again. And like I said last week, there's only been one other season in the history of the franchise where they played two home playoff games. That was 1979 that I mentioned before. And so now they have a chance, just simply by winning a game that they're an 8.5-point favorite in, they have a chance to do that again and play again next weekend at home as the number two seed. So it was really fun, I thought, on Sunday, having the Bucks-Panthers game going at one time, and that was pretty well in hand in the second half, and being able to flip back and forth and watch the 49ers and the Rams, and my son was actually getting on me, because I hate to be, like, out of contact with a Bucks game for too long. So, obviously, the game to be watching at that point was the 49ers and the Rams, but, you know, the Bucks were still playing, even though the Carolina score was lopsided and the Bucks were going to win. Every few plays, I'd still go back to the Bucks game, and he kept saying, "Dad, 49ers-Rams, 49ers-Rams." That was a really good game in the second half. But it just, you know, I don't like to be out of touch with the Bucks game, so I'd be gone for a minute or two. I just flip back real quick, even though there wasn't much to see. I did miss Scotty Miller's touchdown on the little end-around thing there because I was on 49ers-Rams. I had to go back and watch the highlight of that. But it was still a lot of fun, and you didn't really think, especially when the Rams took the 17-0 lead, that it was going to happen. But crazy things happen all the time, and the 49ers come back, win that game, and it drops the Rams all the way to the 4 seed, and the Bucks are at number 2 now. The Free Stretch, as always, brought to you by our good friends at BillCurryFord.com. Bless their hearts for taking care of the show. You, if you need a car, truck, van, brand new, pre-owned, whatever it is, it's all taken care of at BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E. Go to the website first, BillCurryFord.com. You can see everything there, no problem. And then if you want to take a look in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've been serving the Tampa Bay area for almost 60 years now, and you can go see everything on the lot. The online, transparent, no-haggle pricing is right there to see. That's what I recommend you do first. And if you want to stay home, they will help you with that too. They'll deliver a car to you, just a test drive, not even one you're going to buy, or your office or wherever. And if you end up buying it, of course, they'll deliver that to you as well. Either way, it's all covered under the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty as long as you own the car you bought at Bill Curry Ford. Engine trouble, bring it back to the service center. You're covered. 10 years roadside assistance, they've got that. First year free service, the oil changes and everything are all taken care of. All of it comes with any purchase you make at Bill Curry Ford. So check them out again, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, just north of Hillsboro, or at the website BillCurryFord.com. Thanks, of course, as well to Young Bull Athletics. YoungBullAthletics.com had a great session in the park at McFarland Park this past Saturday morning. And the sessions they do are inexpensive. They're only like 20 bucks. If you want to get into personal training, Gary Spencer will do that. He's the one who trains my wife. He's the one who programs me, writes my programs at 41 years old. And I'm not just saying this. I was always just in the gym, just drifting in and out, just kind of doing what I thought I should be doing. But I didn't know any better. It's so much better this way, just being told, here, do this. I go in the gym, I knock it out, takes less than 40 minutes, get it done. I mean, I love having a program just written for me, and it's a great option, so check them out, youngbullathletics.com. Or you can just email me to bobbygameday@yahoo.com. So we got this game. It will be Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Aaron Andrews on the call, the regular Fox number one crew. The weather, first of all, let's talk about that. That could be a bit of an issue, although this far out, a lot of times you hear stuff about the weather and then it ends up not coming to pass because we're still 72 hours out as of this recording. But Paul Delgado, of course, longtime Tampa weatherman. I love all our weather guys. He's the one I tend to favor. But Dennis Phillips as well. I actually listen to both those guys. Steve Jervey just retired over at Channel 8. But Paul Delgado said they ran the models this morning. There's a cold front coming in on Sunday. And as of this morning's model run, the timing of that cold front has sped up a little bit. It will pass through at some point Sunday. If it passes through, it's going to bring rain with it on the frontal boundary, right? I love talking about this stuff. So if it comes through before 1, it'll rain before the game. If it comes through between 1 and 4, it'll be some pretty wild storm type stuff. Not for long, you know, it's just a line, but it'll happen during the game. But if it happens in advance of the game, either way, there will be some chillier air and windier conditions behind it. So we might be able to expect that on Sunday between 1 and 4. There'll be more by Friday and Saturday as far as more exact times for things like that. Just something to keep an eye on, especially when you have a team like Philly who loves to run the ball. It's what they do. It's what they're best at, and it's what favors them. And if you get conditions like that, then it's something that, you know, not that the Bucks can't throw the ball, but if the weather gets a little bit rougher, it might just favor Philly a little bit more. But again, this is what they do. All right. Since the Bucks beat them on that Thursday nighter back on October 14th, and Philly wasn't yet who they ended up being at that point. They were still kind of trying to figure it out. They only ran 19 times in that game. Of course, they were behind most of it. But since that game, they had 30-plus rushing attempts in every single game since that night. And if you look at their overall season numbers, they were a league low, 494 pass attempts, whereas they had the second most rushing attempts in the league. Meanwhile, the Bucks led the league in passing attempts with 731, had the fewest rushes in the league. So, you know, their strength, rushing offense. The Bucks rushing defense suffered a little bit down the stretch. A lot of that was due to injuries, and it kind of finished up middle of the pack just based in terms of like raw yardage and stuff like that. But, you know, overall, we know what they're going to want to do, and they don't make any bones about it. Their passing game is not explosive. It's not a threat, or hasn't been a threat. They had a league low 5 plays the entire season, 5 plays, passing plays of 40 plus yards or more. So, you know, it's a game the Bucs should win. It's a Philadelphia offense that's going to try and run, and the way that teams have had success running against the Bucs, especially in the second half of the season, running away from Vita Vea, running off the tackles and things like that. Obviously, again, injuries had something to do with that. And speaking of injuries, you know, what do we have for this week? Well, Ronald Jones looking doubtful. This is on offense. Cyril Grayson looking like he's not going to play. In fact, the Buccaneers signed wide receiver John Brown this week, and he's an ex-Cardinal, knows Arians' offense well. I don't think he's going to be a big factor or anything like that, but it does seem to indicate, you know, the injury with Cyril Grayson is probably not going to be something that's resolved this week. And I know Rashad Perriman's still trying to overcome something too. But Ronald Jones didn't do anything at practice today. He seems to be not playing. Leonard Fournette, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, all have been made eligible to come off IR. They're not listed on the injury report officially because they're still on IR, but they can come off of it now on Sunday and be ready to play, and that does look like what's going to happen. So, in all, 14 players were listed on the injury report on Thursday for this game, but yet only, three of them were actually did not participate. Most of them were full participation or limited participation. Those guys will play, so, you know, it'll help to have Shaq Barrett back, obviously. JPP didn't practice, but that's normal for him, even when he is healthy, so it doesn't mean he's not coming back because he didn't practice. And, of course, having Levante, if you get Levante David back, Shaq Barrett, you know, everybody's good to go there. And, you know, even JPP, even though, Tryon Soyinka has been probably even better anyway, it's still, to have all those people back, it'll be a big deal, and it will change the complexion of the defense, and this, particularly the running defense that the Bucs have had. So that's where we're looking at right now. The Eagles' defense is a good one. Five straight opponents under 20 points, excluding their very last game against Dallas, in which they didn't really need to win or try to win. Neither did Dallas, to be fair. And that game ended up being a Dallas blowout. But if you throw that one out, they had five straight before that, allowing under 20 points. They do have a bit of a weakness early in games. If the Bucs want to get out to an early lead, that would always be welcome. And they did that against the Eagles when they played earlier in the season. But the Eagles have allowed 100 first-quarter points. That's the second most in the league. Only Jacksonville allowed more. And Jacksonville allowed a lot of points in all four of the quarters. So I don't think that was a first-quarter thing with them. But that's just another thing to keep an eye on as we get ready for this game. But you know what? The Bucs are division champions for the first time since 2007. They're going to play a home playoff game that's legitimately their own for the first time since 2007. I was looking back at the home playoff games they've played. I've been in person to every one, including the ones in 1979, which I've told you before on the show, even though I was born in the summer of 1980. Both the first two in 79, I was in utero, like my mom, and she went to both games. So technically, I've been in the stadium for every home playoff game the Bucs have ever played. And, you know, I look back at that those two way back when. Then, of course, still my favorite one, to be honest with you. I can't lie. 1997 wild card when the Bucs clinched the playoff berth in their final season at Tampa Stadium and played the final game at Tampa Stadium against the Lions. And I remember how emotional that was. And even though now, looking back, like the Bucs have played more games at Raymond James Stadium than at Tampa Stadium, I still feel like Raymond James is like the new stadium. They've played more. I think they crossed over like 2 years ago. They played their whatever home game it was that put them over where they played more at Raymond James than the old Sombrero. But man, that 97 finale, and they went the next week to Green Bay in the divisional round and lost to a Super Bowl-bound Packer team. But that was some just raw stuff, man. I'll always remember that game. Then, of course, 99, they had that Washington game where they then went on to lose to the Rams in the NFC Championship. But Washington had a field goal to beat them, attempt late, and the snap got muffed. And then they were on the road in Philly for those few years till they finally came back, beat San Francisco in 2002 in the divisional round. Then I remember, then the Giants, the Redskins game, the Adele Shepard drop in the end zone, and then the Giants game in 2007. That's it. That's the only home playoff games that have ever been here in Tampa until this week, and we hope to have a couple. If the Bucs can get it done on Sunday against Philadelphia, we will have at least two of them, and that's something we'll worry about that next week. Right now, the focus is on the Eagles game. Wild card weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everything gets started on Saturday at 4:30. So with the six games now, you know, honestly, I always liked the setup of 32 teams, 8 four-team divisions, Four division champions, two wild cards, 16-game schedule, six playoff teams, two first-round byes. To me, it just felt right. It was symmetrical. Everything worked out, and I never saw any need to change it. Obviously, that happened, and that was, I guess, inevitable, and it may even change more down the road. But one of the big selling points for people like me who don't like to change the overall structure was, hey, you're not going to be complaining with two extra playoff games, right? Like, that part you're not going to complain about. And yes, you are right. I am not complaining about the two extra playoff games because I love the NFL playoffs. So now we got 13 playoff games instead of 11. I still would probably take it the old way than the new way. But this weekend, at least, it will pay off because you've got your Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. And how long is that wait on? Like, Saturday, at least, you get the whole day early in the day. Just get whatever you got done. If there's anything up your ass that someone's bugging you about or that you have to take care of, or youth sports, if you have kids or whatever else it is, get it done before 4:30. Bengals, Raiders. Okay, and after that, it's on. Like, that's it's just six straight hours. Then Sunday is a playoff gasm starting at 1 with us. But then there's an afternoon and a night game, so three straight games. And then the Monday nighter. I'm really curious to see how it's going to feel. Because, like I said last week, I know what Monday Night Football feels like on a normal Monday. And I'm honestly always excited for it, even when it's just some random, you know, week 9 matchup of two teams that I don't even care who it is. So a playoff game on a Monday, I'm not sure if it's going to feel different or just like that. I mean, I don't care how it feels. I'm just glad there's football. Like, tonight's Thursday and there's no football, and that sucks. But, you know, I'm not going to push for a Thursday night playoff game yet either. But it's going to be fun to have the extra couple of games. We'll see how it goes. I know they did this last year too, but last year was a little bit different with COVID and all that stuff. This year will be really fun. And it's been a great NFL season all around, to be honest. And actually, let me throw some numbers at you now that the season's over, because we have talked on this show many times about, we're very progressive analytically on this show. I am. You know, I like to know numbers. I like to know if there's deeper reasons why somebody should or should not be doing things that maybe hadn't been figured out before that we know now. I think that's a really, really good thing. And most people do. There's some old school people who, you know, anytime you throw any sort of a number at them, they just go, ah, analytics, ah! Even though not every number is analytics just because it's a number. But, you know, things have come a long way in football as far as going for things on fourth down, when to punt, when to kick, two-point conversion use, all that stuff. So let me give you some numbers here because these are all the highest in the history of the game for the 2021 season. Fourth and one go rate this year, 69%. That's pretty good, all right? And I think it makes for more entertaining football is the reason I'm talking about these numbers as a positive. Fourth and one go rate was 69%. Fourth and two go rate, 39%, also the highest ever. Not only that, but you might be saying, Bobby, what was the go rate on 4th and 1 even a few years ago? Well, the 4th and 2 go rate this year of 39% is higher than the 4th and 1 go rate from 10 years ago in 2011 season, okay? So back then, and it was not long ago, 10 years, but it feels like ages ago, in 2011, the 4th and 1 go rate was under 40%. This year on 4th and 2, it was 39%. And on 4th and 3, same thing, 19%. That's the highest ever in the history of the NFL. Two-point conversion attempt rate. 11% of touchdowns had a two-point conversion go after them. And that coincides with a drop in the conversion rate of extra points again. Those 33-yarders are really getting in kickers' heads. So when you add it all up, two-point conversions, given the extra likelihood of missing an extra point, are a better value play than they've ever been, and we saw more of them than we ever have. So all these things put together, like I said, I just think it makes for more entertaining football. It's nice when it's like 3rd and 7, and they complete the pass, and the guy lunges for the stick or whatever, just comes up short. That used to be an automatic, okay, click, punt coming up. Didn't matter where on the field they were. They didn't get the first down on 3rd down, they're punting. Like, that was clockwork. Not anymore. Now it's like, oh, where they spot? Did he get this inside of 2 yards close to the stick? I think this is go-for-it territory, and head coaches agree. They're doing it, and they're not doing it just to be entertaining, although it is entertaining. They're doing it because little by little, they're realizing it's the right thing to do, and change can move slow sometimes, especially when it's this type of change that's kind of, again, progressive, and, you know, people sometimes, they have a real hard time with that, But change has been happening slowly but surely, and it continues to happen right before our very eyes. So all adding up to an even more entertaining product. I thought it was a good NFL season. I mean, we haven't even done the playoffs yet, but even as far as the regular season, I thought it was a really good NFL season. It was really good early on with the national TV games for a while. They all seemed to be really, really good ones. But even as the season went on, it was, it's always, I mean, you can give me the worst football season imaginable and I'll still love every minute of it. But it was a good season, I thought. And Americans agreed, by the way, because I was looking at, you know, after the new year turned over, they give you the top broadcasts of the calendar year 2021. So I say all the time, football's the greatest sport in the world for a number of reasons, whether it's as a, you know, playing it or as a fan or what have you. But it really is the best sport for TV, too. And that's not just me saying that, because of the top 100 shows in the year 2021, this is everything, any type of broadcast, so not just sports. Top TV shows, period, in 2021. I'll give you a moment to guess how many of them were NFL related. Not football related, just NFL related. So I'll give you a second out of 100. The top 75, or excuse me, 75 of the top 100 shows in 2021, most watched US TV broadcasts were NFL games. And that's just NFL, because there were seven more that were college football. Zero Major League Baseball, zero NHL, zero NBA made this list. It's 75 NFL games, seven college football games, 10 were Olympics. So now we're up to, what is that, 92, and it's still sports. Two college basketball makes 94. One was the Harry and Meghan special, which, I mean, I have no idea that was even on, but I guess, you know, a few people watched that. That was number 53, by the way. Then there was the presidential inauguration, a couple other political, one other political thing, and one episode of 60 Minutes snuck in there at number 99. But it's just football. The top, let me see here, the top 41 broadcasts were all football except for the presidential inauguration, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And then once you get down to number 42, then you get some Olympics, some college football. But, I mean, it just dominant. So, you know, you hear all these things. Anytime anybody complains, especially like you hear it about officiating, like, oh, if bad officiating is killing the NFL. And, hey, I complain about officiating myself all the time, okay? So I'm not saying that they're not right. But reports of the negative things' effect on the watchability of the product seem to be greatly exaggerated, because these are ridiculous numbers. And this is, again, not just sports. This is any TV show anywhere. It's football, folks. And it's made for TV. I mean, every play lasts 4 to 6 seconds. Then you get a little break, but not too long of a break. Then we're going to run more plays. Every single thing that happens from the first quarter to the fourth quarter feels like it matters. Like, it's not like an NBA game where, you know, a team goes on a 10-2 run in the second quarter. It's like, whatever, you know, let me know when we get to the final 5 minutes. Like, if you are in third and goal in the red zone, like in the second quarter, and you fail to score and you end up kicking a field goal instead, that feels like a big moment. Oh, yeah, there's a four-point play. Like, everything in football feels like it matters all the time. Never mind the physicality, the sheer beauty, the way it blends ballet-like technique with just brute force and violence. It's perfect. The only, like I say this all the time, the most perfect sport is football. The only thing that could make it more perfect, okay, obviously, is injuries. And that's any sport, but particularly with football. But if it weren't, if there was some sort of magic potion or pill we could take, everybody could play football and just feel as good as they felt before the game, after the game, there would be, that's the only thing football that has a negative. And, you know, I know we've been through many things with the head injuries and stuff like that. You don't have to remind me of all that stuff. But it's just, as a fan, it's easy for us to sit there and say, because we're not the ones playing it. I have played it at low levels, but even at low levels, you know, it asks a lot of you. More than, I've played baseball, I've played football, you know, organized, played a little bit of some other things, but, you know, football tests you in a way no other sport does. Can't recommend it enough for at least a year for any young man. Maybe not when you're young, but at the high school level, I still think it's one of the best things anybody can do. And it's certainly one of the best things you can watch on TV, and me and hundreds of millions of other people apparently all agree on that, because these are some good numbers here. And it's about to get even better with the playoffs. I'm really excited about all of it starting on Saturday. It's going to be a hell of a time. All right, looking at who spoke to the media today, by the way, because I'm, again, doing the show on Thursday, and it's not all done yet with practice and media availability, but it looks like Breshad Perriman should be fine because he spoke today, so that usually a guy's not going to speak if he's not going to be ready to play. And, I mean, you know, you look at the Bucs wide receivers right now, and this goes back to what I talked about on the show after the Jets game, you know, aside from all the hoopla about what happened with the Antonio Brown thing, just the magnitude of the loss is not small. You know, you got Mike Evans. Here's what they're going with on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday. Mike Evans, number one. I would think Perriman would be number two, right? I mean, Grayson's not playing. So Evans, Perriman, then you got Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller. They just signed John Brown, but again, I don't think Brown would be a huge factor yet. So that's the wide receiver core for the game. Outside of Mike Evans, it looks a lot like what they were dealing with. Besides Perriman, too, he wasn't there yet. But that Saints game on Sunday night a few weeks back that we all complained that they didn't have any personnel. They do have Mike Evans, and of course they do have Gronkowski. And Cam Brate's free to step up as well. But, you know, that's a little bit of a concern. Obviously, it's not something the Bucs are completely new to. Looking at what happened in practice today, as far as everybody else, pretty much what we already said earlier in the show. I haven't seen anything else come down since I started recording. And as far as everybody's asking about this, and this is one other thing I want to get to before we wrap up. I can't believe how much people want to talk about the MVP race between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. It never ceases to amaze me. This is one of those things, and this goes back years when I was doing radio too. There's just certain things that are part of the job description, I guess you'd say, of a sports radio talk show host, or in this case, a podcast host. And one of them, I suppose, is to talk about this type of stuff. And it's one of those spots where I am just completely out of touch with my audience. Because I hope Tom Brady wins it. I always root for the guys on our team, on my teams. I mean, of course. But I don't care enough about this to spend more than 20 seconds thinking about it. Like, I hope Tom Brady wins. If Aaron Rodgers wins, whatever. I mean, people, go on Greg Allman's Twitter feed. Greg Allman covers the Bucks for The Athletic. He's the beat writer for the Bucks. Okay, and I always read his Twitter feed. Rick Stroud, same thing, the beat writer for the Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times, and a number of other Bucks people. But particularly, like I was reading Greg Allman a little while ago, and the amount of questions that his Twitter feed is clogged with of just people asking about Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, arguing about what Allman's thoughts are, or whoever else. Everybody wants to talk about the MVP. We got a playoff game on Sunday. I could not possibly care any less. Now, Super Bowl MVP I care about. I really hope that's one of the Bucs players, okay? But the overall MVP, I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, again, I hope it's Brady, sure. You know, get the Bucs the MVP, great, great. But people are really, really into this stuff. It kind of, to me, it's the same as Hall of Fame discussions. Whether it's baseball or football or whatever. Oh, let's debate who's so-and-so, whether they should be in the Hall of Fame or not. I don't care. I don't care about individual stuff. I'm a team guy. I don't care who wins the MVP. I don't care who goes to the Hall of Fame. I care, again, Bucks players, I hope they go. Ronnie Barber should be in, I think. That's a whole other thing. But I'm not, like, going to do a whole... People are just obsessed with the Aaron Rodgers-Tom Brady MVP thing. And you came to the wrong place, folks. I think... I hope Brady wins, but there's a case to be made for both of them. Honestly, I don't have strong feelings either way. I want to watch the Bucks and the Eagles on Sunday. I want to watch all the playoff games. I don't care about any of the end-of-season awards. Maybe after the season ends and, you know, it's all said and done and there's nothing left to care about, although by then we'll have moved on to the combine and everything pretty quickly. But then, okay, you can talk about the MVP, I suppose. Getting ready to start Wild Card Weekend. Six games. We got six games coming up. Starting at 4:30 on Saturday. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. I know it's the middle of the week before the game, so maybe people just want to know. I don't have a huge take on it, okay? Other than to say, yes, I'm rooting for Tom Brady. If you want to email me, you can always do that. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay, and it's the same thing, BobbyGameDay. I always love hearing from you guys. You're always free to contact me anytime you want. One other thing I wanted to mention, if anybody gets a chance to go out there, the Bucks, I got the email. I'm on the email list, but I'll pump it for them. They're having a playoff drive-through event on Friday morning. There will be free Bucks swag. They give you a goodie bag with stuff. I think there's some flags in there and stuff sometimes. There's some cool stuff. And I know people love free stuff no matter what. So that is happening Friday morning, starting at 5:30 a.m. I was thinking, like, how are they doing this if they, you know, people have kids and work and they want to go to school? 5:30 a.m., they're going to have Captain Fear out there. This is in the parking lot, the south parking lot of Raymond James Stadium. Cheerleaders, Captain Fear, some people from the energy team or whatever they're called. These people are all getting up at 5:30 in the morning to hand out swag bags. And I didn't do it last year, but I heard, or whatever the last time is they did this, one of my neighbors did it. She said at like 6:30, 7 in the morning, there was traffic down Himes to do this thing. So it's not like people are going to say it's too early. They're doing it again, 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., Raymond James Stadium, south parking lots. I'm reading you the email verbatim right now. Drive to the stadium, raise the flags from your vehicle, enjoy appearances by the Bucks cheerleaders, the Beat Line, that's the guys with the drums, and Captain Fear and all that. And then in the afternoon, if that's too early for you, from 5 to 7 in the Wing House, it's right across on Himes there, or excuse me, right across Columbus on the south end of the stadium. You've got the little party game giveaways type thing, 5 to 7 p.m., and there'll be a chance to win a pair of playoff game tickets every half hour, as well as some other stuff. So if you're just trying to get fired up, looking for something to do on a Friday morning or Friday afternoon, there it is, folks. It's all set up for you. With all that said, all right, here we are. It's been a long time. I know they won the Super Bowl last year, but even then, they didn't have this, a home playoff game. We've got it this weekend, Sunday at 1. Hey, I don't know if they're already doing this or not, but I'm calling for the all-red end zones. I've always liked the tradition of going all-red end zones for playoff games only, maybe the occasional national TV game, but really it should be reserved for the playoffs. And so I'm hoping to see the fully painted-in red end zones this weekend, among other things. So enjoy it. Have a great time if you're going. If you're not, use this as a chance to have friends over, get together with people. We hope we have multiple playoff games, but you don't know how many games are left in the season at this point. Either way, be safe, have fun. We'll be back next week with our show. Wild Card Weekend, everybody. Savor every moment of it, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.